Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth.
Speaking truth, bold enough to stand in spite of the heat.
What we see happening is the result of Christians relaxing what they know to be true of Scripture.
And I mean no disrespect to any Muslim person. I'm just telling the truth. Anybody who says that Islam is a peaceful religion is lying.
It's Spring Share-a-thon on Urban Family Talk. Together, we're standing for the truth that sets us free. Call now at 888-778-7138 or give online at urbanfamilytalk.com. Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and privileged to be joined with me in studio today, my daughter, Elizabeth. Good to have you with us today, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And we're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon, and thanks for joining us. Once again, I want to remind you that if you'd like to call in and share a contribution with us, we can do it three different ways. One is by dialing 1-888-778-7138, or you can go online to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and give that way. And then a third way is by way of the use of your text. You can text UFC Pledge to 41411, and we'll send you a link to the pledge form that you can through which you can give. Again, text UFC PLEDGE to 41411. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with as we look in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. And it tells us these words: to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Verses 1 through 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is our guide, it's our strength, it's that which feeds our spirit. And Lord, also your word is a book full of answers, a book of wisdom, a book of insight that gives us guidance, direction, and understanding about all of life and everything in life. Lord, help us to grow much today in our understanding of the great and wonderful place your word holds in our lives as we look to your word for wisdom, for guidance, for counsel, for direction in every part of life. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon. And once again, I want to invite you to be a part of our share-a-thon. Again, this is our third day, and God has blessed thus far. We're grateful for many people who've called in and made pledges and promises. And, you know, Elizabeth, it's been a good share-a-thon thus far. We're still, again, shooting for more persons to call in at this point. So if you haven't called in yet, please do take time on this third and last day of Share-a-thon to be a part. Again, once again, you can call in. Call this number if you'd like to make a pledge. 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to our website and give through the website, urbanfamilytalk.com. And then finally, by way of the use of your text, you can text UFC Pledge, that's UFC PLEDGE, to this number, 41411. And it'll take you to a link whereby you can give a pledge that way as well. Today, on this third day of Share-a-thon, we're looking at a topic for the day. Simply, our topic is simply real questions and real Bible answers. And today, I'm privileged to have, as I said, my daughter Elizabeth with us in studio. And Elizabeth is several things. She's an actress. She's a videographer. She is a lawyer to be. She's a lot of things.
All so. Things film production All and right. law and order. So
and
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, but today she will be asking some questions. And I want let me say to our listeners as well, those that are joining us by way of the Turban, if you'd like to join us and ask questions as well, our goal is to give you biblical answers to whatever questions you may want to ask. So. No questions are out of bounds, you know. So, but our goal is to try to give you a biblical response to the questions that we're looking at. So if you'd like to share one by way of the Turban, we invite you to do that. But as we start off, Elizabeth, you have a set of questions that you've prepared that you're going to share with us. And my goal is to give a Bible answer to each of the ones that you ask. And, of course, one of my best answers is, I don't know, but I'm certainly going to try to give the best answer that we can based on the wisdom
Definitely.
Of God's word. Okay.
And just to give you all some background, one of my spiritual mentors is, of course, my dad, Pastor Joseph Parker. Mm-hmm. So I come to him often with my spiritual questions and things that I want to know about as far as what does the Bible say about this. So some of these questions are questions that friends have, you know, either asked me or I've asked dad in the past. So like you said, if you guys have any questions of your own, feel free to ask them via the Turban, or, you know, you can tag along with the ones that I already have.
Amen.
So do you want me to just dive right into my
dive
first
right
one?
Dive right in.
All
dive
right,
right
let's
in.
Get started. Okay, so one thing that I know I talk to you a lot about is just discipling, because mm-hmm. you mentioned that a lot. So we hear a lot about discipling these days. What does discipling actually mean in layman terms? And how can we, or how would you practically suggest a millennial or anyone, how would you suggest them to disciple someone in these modern times, especially if they are not in full-time ministry like you? I know you're a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then what if they're shy? You know, you have your outgoing people and then you have your shy people. So what does discipling mean in layman terms? How do you suggest people go about discipling? And what if they're shy?
Okay, well, I think it's a great question, and as we start off, let me just start by reading the question that the scripture that really kind of helps us to, in a very direct way, answer that question is found Matthew chapter 28, a verse that I often quote. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, tell us the Great Commission. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Again, that's verses 19 and 20, Matthew chapter 28. Well, of course, the work of discipleship, it's helpful to really understand that, because all of us as believers are called to be involved in this very important work of making disciples. This work of making disciples is basically the work of sharing the gospel so that people can come to be saved, and then teaching them the building blocks of helping them to grow up and grow strong in their faith. Well, sadly, for many believers, they don't really know what a disciple really is. A
Right.
disciple is a learner,
mm-hmm.
a lifelong learner, but also a disciple is a student, someone that stays in the lifelong school of discipleship all his life, mm-hmm. and we really never graduate. But it's important to know what it is, and how we carry it out to help others do the same as well. So basically, a disciple is someone who has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior,
okay.
but they're growing spiritually as well. I like to narrow it down to, I use the word pro to remind us of three basic areas of discipleship. P-R-O, P refers to our prayer life. Every believer needs to develop a vibrant prayer life where prayer is a vital part of their life. R refers to reading, specifically reading the Word of God. It's tragic to me how many believers are never taught the need to establish the discipline of reading God's word every day of their life. For
okay.
many believers, they read when they have a question, the Bible, or read when it's raining outside and they can't go out and play or whatever. But the reality is reading should be as vital to our lives as eating.
Right.
And some people say, that's ridiculous. I eat every day and I can't live without eating. Well, the fact is we need the Word of God more than we need the food we eat, whether we realize that or not. And so I like to often encourage the goal of reading at least three chapters in the Bible every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's a good basic spiritual goal. But reading daily, and then O refers to obedience. We're to live what we learn. We're not just to say we've read in order to say we've read it. Our goal is to apply. Truth is always meant to be applied. And so we are learning truth from the Word of God but not applying it. We're missing a major and important part of what it means to be a disciple. We're to hear the truth and apply it as well. And so as believers, we need to be living the life of a disciple, but we need to also know what the building blocks of discipleship are so that in turn we can be making disciples as well. So those three elements are things we're to live and we're to teach others as well. Teach them, P, to be a vibrant person of prayer, R, to become a student of the Word of God who reads the Word. I like to say, again, three chapters a day is a good basic spiritual goal. And then finally, O, apply what you learn. Obey what you learn as well.
Okay, so quick question.
Okay.
So as far as being a disciple, someone can, and I'm just trying to put it in even more layman terms than you just did, okay?
Okay.
So someone can officially call themselves a disciple if they are praying to God on a daily basis, mm-hmm. if they are reading their Bible for understanding on a daily basis, and if they are obeying, actually, well, I guess taking time out to listen to see what God says and then obeying what he says to them, whether it be through prayer or reading the Word.
Right.
That can officially get somebody a diploma from the School of Discipleship, right?
I don't know if I'd put it like that, because you're never supposed to graduate.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, they can officially call themselves a disciple if they're doing that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would say so.
So there we have a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do the discipling?
Well, it happens in many different contexts. Now, ideally, what will happen is they will look for people who are hungry, who want to learn and grow, and they'll take the time to spend time one-on-one with them to help them grow. Or, for example, sometimes start a Bible study,
mm-hmm.
maybe in your church, maybe in a group of people amongst whom you work, with friends, but start a Bible study whereby you systematically disciple them and teach them basic truths about growing up in their faith as well. But also, sometimes it may be through the conversations you have regularly with people. Sometimes
okay.
you call someone up on the phone and just ask them, how are things going in your, you know, like if you know they're saved,
mm-hmm.
How are things going in your prayer life, you know? And often, it's tragic. A lot of believers say, well, you know, I don't really know how to pray, or prayer is not a big part of my life. Well, they need help, because prayer is such an important part of the life of anyone who's following Christ. And a starting place is just teaching them to pray prayers that come straight from Scripture.
Right. You know,
the Lord's Prayer, praying the prayer of Jabez, but also in addition to that, praying the Ten Commandments. But prayers that come straight from the Word of God are great places to start, to jumpstart your prayer life. Encouraging them, you know, how's your Bible reading coming? Are you reading your Bible? And sometimes you run into someone who says, I don't have a Bible. But that's not too many people, because most people in our culture have them. But there are those people who sometimes say, well, I have one, but it's just collecting dust, not doing much with it.
Gotcha.
Well, one of the reasons I really encourage the goal of saying, encouraging someone to set a goal of reading three chapters a day is it's a good basic goal to shoot for. And a person can know either they hit it or they didn't. But also, in addition to that, it's a good basic spiritual meal. The Word of God is food for your spirit. It helps you grow strong and vibrant in the things of God. Many believers have not been taught the importance of that. So when we make it a goal to teach and encourage others to do that, that's a very important task to encourage others to do.
So if I could just hone in on something real quick. So
okay.
through casual conversation, people can be discipling other people.
Without question, yes. And often that's the best context, because some people, you know, if you ask them, hey, are you interested in being a disciple? They'd say, what is that? Or they say, no, I'm not interested.
Right, like that's a term that we don't use every day in everyday sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in casual conversation, we can do a lot of discipling by just simply telling them, well, this is what I do, and this is what encourages me. This is what helps me to grow in my faith. And whether they realize it or not, we're discipling them as we simply share our testimony or share what God is doing in our life. That's discipling. Encouraging someone to begin to do those things, that's discipling. And sometimes it's better to not even let them know what you're doing, because they'll if you say, well, I'm interested in discipling you, that may scare them off, you know. So
right. So just real quick, because I like application, like I like learning and then how do you apply it.
Mm-hmm.
So just a quick question. I'm wondering.
We're going to jump in real quick. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon. Again, we invite you to call in and make a pledge, if you would, to help us with our mission of bringing the gospel to the world. 1-888-778-7138. We'll be right back.
Thank you. We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
One of my favorite jams is by the talented family Forever Jones called He Wants It All. Every year, and even throughout New Year's, one thing on people's lists to improve on, other than losing weight, is a closer relationship with Jesus. Today, right now, is always the best day to give our Heavenly Daddy your all. How do you do that, you ask? One great start is by asking Him, what is it that you would have me to do today for your glory? Keep in mind, it will consist of trials, faith, and guts. Yes, guts. Living for Jesus is never a dull moment. In fact, it's an adventure. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking and He says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth.
Pat in Texas, a.k.a. Abe Intern. I am an active duty military member. We have so many personalities there that are so top-notch. From Mickey and Will, we get up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning just to make sure that we can hear them with the kids. They feel like they're on our own personal family and friends. Abe Hamilton, the entire lineup has been such a blessing to my family. We are very, very grateful for the team at Urban Family Talk. Victory McIntosh, Lonnie Poindexter, we are very grateful for Bishop B.W. Jackson. It fortifies us, it invigorates us, it lets us know that we are not alone in this world. If you have the opportunity to dig deep and bless the Urban Family Talk team, this is Pat telling you to do so, and we thank you.
Call now with your financial support, 888-778-7138. That's 888-778-7138. Or online at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. It's Spring Share-a-thon on Urban Family Talk. Call now at 888-778-7138 or give online at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could?
music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Grateful to have with us in studio today my daughter Elizabeth as we go through some real questions with real Bible answers. We're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon. I want to remind you once again, if you haven't called in, we certainly hope that you will. We're hoping that we can have at least 20 people to call in and pledge during the Hour of Intercession today on our final and third day of share-a-thon. If you haven't called in, please call. And remember this, any gift of any amount is appreciated. Don't feel like you have to give a huge gift. Now, of course, if you just want to send $10,000 or $1,000, that's fine too. But even a small gift, any gift you give helps us to carry out the mission and the work we're called to. So if you'll call in and please, any gift you choose to give is genuinely appreciated. And of course, obviously, the Lord knows the sacrifice it is for you, but we would appreciate hearing from you. Once again, that number is 1-888-778-7138 to call in again, 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to urbanfamilytalk.com and give. Or you can give, make a contribution by way of text. Text UFCPLEDGE to 41411. We'll send you a link and you'll be able to give that way as well. So either of any of the three will work. Hope you'll be a part of our third and last day of Share-a-thon. Elizabeth, you want to pick up, you were starting a question before we went into break. Would
yes,
you pick up there?
Indeed. We were just finishing up question one as far as what does it mean to be a real disciple in modern times. Mm-hmm. And you were just finishing telling me that casual conversation is one way to not only be a disciple, but do some discipling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So before we just leave that question completely, I wanted to check and see if there was an applicable way that I've already been doing discipling.
Okay.
So my friend and I, Michelle, we've been reading the book Fervent, okay, by Priscilla Shire.
Okay.
And of course, we've been loving it, great, and then we've been talking about it, and mm-hmm. we've actually been applying what we've been talking about, and of course, getting excited over actually seeing the effects of really changing up our prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
So are we discipling one another when we get together and we talk about this book and we talk about what's happened, the changes we're seeing?
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. You're encouraging each other in your faith. You're spurring each other on to the good works of growing in the Lord. So, yes, that's discipleship as well. And, yes, you can disciple each other that way.
Okay. Good to know. So I'm okay. already on the road to that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So my next question, kind of going to dive into a different just area, which is actually dealing with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think so many young adults / millennials are not choosing to marry nowadays?
Say that again.
Why do you think so many young adults and millennials are choosing to not marry these days?
Mm-hmm. That's a huge question. And, you know, in responding, let me just start off. I want to share a scripture from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Again, reading that again, Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Again, it's important to note, too, marriage is an institution created by God, ordained by God. And yet, sadly, we see that Satan is attacking it in so, so many different ways. And, of course, he uses all sorts of cultural tools with which to do it. Well, the fact is also, again, you have lots of young people nowadays who, for whatever reason, as you just alluded to, they're choosing not to marry. You have a lot of people that are even in a quote-unquote Christian circles who are just living together. They're not choosing to marry. Feeling like, well, it's just, sometimes people say it's just a piece of paper, or we want to try it out a little while before we actually commit ourselves. But the fact is, Satan is using all sorts of tools to try to discourage marriage. You know, of course, sexual promiscuity is such a big part of our culture. And the fact is, the prevalence of pornography is a big, much bigger issue than people sometimes realize. You have lots and lots of young men that don't want the commitment of marriage that marriage requires. And sadly, because so many young men and women give themselves away sexually, well, the fact is, to be quite honest, that's a big deterrent to men for marrying. Now, You know, it's an ugly little saying, but it makes a point. The saying is, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Well, the reality is you have lots of young men that they don't want the responsibility anyway. And if they feel like, sadly, they have come to the conclusion that they can get their sexual needs met without the commitment of marriage, so many of them may feel like, why bother? But the reality is God's way is the best way to do anything. And God's design is that men and women keep themselves sexually pure until marriage, and that's the best thing for everyone. It works good for men. It works good for women. It works good for children. It works good for family. Yet you see the devil trying to encourage people to go in so many different directions outside of the word and the will of God. So the answer to the church is we need to preach and teach and lift up marriage as God's design, God's answer. And we should never come to the conclusion that, well, it's hopeless. People aren't going to do that. Well, that's the wrong approach, because the fact is God's way does work. And the fact is it's not new that sometimes there are cultures and eras where people feel like, well, marriage doesn't work anymore. That's happened before in history, and it's sadly it may be happening today. But the fact is the answer then and the answer now is preach and teach and live the word of God, because that's where the solution comes. That's where God's will bless, and that's where God is honored. And so we're, no matter what other people may choose to do, if we keep preaching and teaching it, and of course modeling it as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have people that they model it very poorly. They're not really good role models. You know, many children are discouraged when they look at the marriage their parents had. Well, that's one more reason why as parents, where our goal is to try to have the best marriages we can before our children as well, because we're our children's role models, like it or not. So the goal is that we're to stick with the Word of God, preach it, teach it, and live it, and model it, no matter what the culture may be doing.
So as a follow-up question to that, okay, are you familiar with the term generational?
Let me jump in real quick here and say once again, if you haven't called in, we're in the midst of our share-a-thon, and if you will call in and make a pledge, we'd appreciate it. Again, we're on the final, third and final day, and still hoping to hear from lots and lots of our listeners. And again, we're hoping that during this hour that we can have at least 20 pledges made. So if you'll call in and pledge, and if you've already made one but want to make one more so that you can help us look good this hour, hey, we'd appreciate it. So three ways, again, you can call in is 1-888-778-7138. Again, that's 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to urbanfamilytalk.com. And then finally, then you can give by way of text. You can text UFC Pledge, that's UFCPLEDGE, to 41411. And we'll send you a link and you can share a pledge that way. Okay, go ahead.
All righty. So are you familiar with the term generational curses?
I am. I've heard it many times.
Do you believe they actually exist?
Well, I think there's a sense in which, yes, that can be a problem or a demonically a problem that basically is comes from demonic activity,
right,
that seems to flow from one generation to the next in the same family.
Do you feel that plays a part in the perspective of how people view marriage today, a generational curse?
I think it can play a big part in it, because, again, whether people understand it or not, demonic activity is very real. You know, the Bible talks about angels and demons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, there's only one devil, but there are lots and lots of demons that work for him. And the devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. But he has lots and lots of demonic assistants,
right,
that are part of his demonic horde that are in many, many places all over the world. And the fact is, sometimes they congregate in certain areas because certain strongholds that have been set up in a given geographic area, and sometimes with a given family.
Oh, wow.
And so the reality is spiritual activity is very, you know, demonic activity is very real. And there are things that people can do to open the door to allow more demonic influence in their lives. And there are things we can do to help push it out.
Right.
So that's why it's so important for us to be rooted in the Word of God, because it helps us know what allows the Holy Spirit to come in and work in a greater way, and also helps us to better understand things that discourage the work of the Holy Spirit and encourage the work of Satan as well then. So specifically, let me be sure I'm understanding clearly, mm-hmm, your question then. So What is the last part of the question again?
So ultimately, do you think one of the factors in the problem with marriage and whoever, you know, decides not to get married over doing it, you know, God's way, do you think generational curses play a part into that decision sometimes?
I do think so, in it, because, like, just for example, if you have a situation where, say, you have a father that he's very abusive to his wife, well, the son is going to see that. And even if he resents his father for it, very often he'll do the same thing.
Mm.
And part of it is he saw his dad doing it, and he may, without meaning to, learn that, well, this is how you get things done, which is a very sad and wicked thing. And in turn, his son may learn the same thing from his father as well. Whether marriage or lack of marriage,
right,
he may learn it from his dad.
So then how do you break generational curses?
Well, when you have a man that, number one, realizes, you know, like, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says a man is to love his wife as his own body. Well, part of that points out that clearly a man is never to strike his wife under any circumstances,
right,
under any situation. And even if he says, well, she aggravates me, she says this and that, well, again, the Bible's clear. And so there's never a time when he should do it. So say a father saw his grandfather and his father do it, but he decides, by God's grace, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to honor God. He decides he's not going to strike his wife. Well, he can stop that curse,
mm-hmm,
in his life and teach his son, real men don't hit girls. Real men don't hit women. Real men protect and look out for women.
Right.
He'll begin to do it God's way. And so by following the word of God, break that curse and stop it in his family.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So moving on to my next question.
Okay.
All right. So question number 4. Okay, so earlier you were talking about reading your Bible.
Right.
And all while growing up, you kept telling us to, you know, read 3 chapters a day.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So with reading 3 chapters a day, that's what you promote. But I've also heard other preachers promote taking a verse or just a few verses,
mm-hmm,
and studying those verses to really meditate on them and understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So which is best, taking 3 chapters or taking a couple verses?
I think my way is better. Well, let me share that. Actually, I'd say it's good to do both.
Okay.
Because one of the reasons why I like to encourage 3 chapters a day is because it gives you a good spiritual meal for the day. Now, for some people that say, well, it's not quantity, it's quality. Well, there are some things you can learn about in the spirit that you can learn from truths about the same issue in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask somebody, well, is it important how much you eat or the quality of what you eat? Well, it's both. Just like a person can eat a spoonful of cornflakes and think that's the best tasting spoonful of cornflakes I've had all, you know, in a long time. But if that's all you eat, that's not enough.
Right.
So volume and quality are both important. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, again, you do need to consume an amount of spiritual nourishment for your spirit. But at the same time, reading and meditating is very, very important. That's how you really get into and grow and digest it, when you spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God. And, you know, I like to often mention that there are these 7 things we can do with God's Word daily. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. 7 different things. They're all important. None of them are quite the same thing. You can read the Word of God but not choose to speak the Word,
right,
of God in your life.
Yeah.
You can read God's Word but maybe not pray the Word of God. Well, all of them are important, but they're different ways of using God's Word. So I would stick with saying 3 chapters a day, but like if someone says, well, I just want to stick with this one chapter. Well, the same chapter 3 times over, still 3 chapters a day.
Oh,
but
okay.
You're still consuming more and you're spending more time on that one passage. But again, volume and quantity, both are important when it comes to God's Word.
Okay. Now, I know we're getting ready to come up on a break.
Okay, let me jump in one more time.
Okay.
Our number for Share-a-thon, if you'd like to participate and call in and help us to reach that goal of at least 20 callers this hour, you can simply call this number again, 1-888-778-7138. Again, that's 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to urbanfamilytalk.com. Or you can text UFC Pledge to 41411, and we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, encouraging all of our listeners to participate in this year's Share-a-thon for Urban Family Talk. Your donations are greatly needed to keep this ministry coming your way. God bless you as you support Urban Family Talk.
Call now with your financial support, 888-778-7138. That's 888-778-7138. Or online at urbanfamilytalk.com. Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's a poetic passage of Scripture that's been quoted or sung so many times, we tend to miss its meaning. We learn to see it in a whole new light today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
That leads us to probably the most famous chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that, and there's a time for this. In the first half of chapter 3, there's a time. What is he saying? He's saying, I got bad news for you. You live in a closed universe. Because soon as you find out there's something to laugh about, something else is going to happen to make you cry. Soon as you find some peace, something else is going to break up to turn it into war. You are locked into a closed universe, and there is no escape. God, why do you have me trapped in this thing called life when all I've got to look forward to is death? God has boxed you and me in to time and space to force us to him. He set eternity in your heart so that deep down where you live with you, unless you cover it over with fake stuff, there is this hole that only he can fill. So he wants your human life to be connected with God and eternity. But as long as you disconnect it, you're trapped in something you cannot change.
Finding your freedom begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Learn how you can fill that empty spot inside and start your new life today. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
It's Spring Share-a-thon on Urban Family Talk. Call now at 888-778-7138 or give online at urbanfamilytalk.com. Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth for your family.
You're listening to the music of Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon, the third and final day of our spring share-a-thon. And again, if you haven't called in yet, we hope that you will take the time to please call in. And we're hoping to try to get at least 20 callers by the end of this hour to call in and make a pledge. Again, you can call three different ways. 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to urbanfamilytalk.com, or you can give by way of text. Text UFCPLEDGE, that's UFCPLEDGE, to 41411. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. My co-host today is my daughter, Elizabeth. And just so some of you probably wouldn't know this, but she has a wonderful ministry where she becomes Harriet Tubman, and she preaches through Harriet Tubman. She shares a wonderful historical sketch of the character of Harriet Tubman, but one of the messages is a wonderful message on prayer, and the other one is a pro-life message as well. And she's done that I don't know how many times in different places. She was with us for our Festival for Life a couple months ago. Birmingham did an outstanding job, as she always does. So,
thank you, Dad, for that plug.
All right. Well, we'll continue with our questions then. Can we pick up where we left off there?
Yes. We were talking about the reading question, chapters, verses.
Okay.
The follow-up question that I had to that is, what about devotionals? Some people aren't really into just diving into the Bible itself, but they're into devotionals that have biblical scriptures and / chapters in them. Mm-hmm. That also have readings to follow up with what they've read.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do that in addition. Some people do that in place.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's good to do it in addition, but nothing should replace the reading of the Word of God.
Mm.
Again, you know, Christian books are good and fine. That should be in addition to the reading. Nothing should ever replace the reading of God's Word. You know, the fact is, money could never buy all the good it does for any person to become a diligent student of God's Word, because when you read the Word of God, it pours grace, peace, light, encouragement, strength into a person's mind and heart. We need that. Our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. Our uncles, our cousins, everybody needs that. So when any person grasps how vitally important it is and helpful it is, start that habit of reading at least like three chapters a day. It's life-changing. So I would say, without question, devotional should be in addition to, it should never replace. Because again, if it's a scripture or two in the devotional book, that's good, but that's not adequate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough of a spiritual nourishment from the Word to help a person receive what they need on a daily basis.
So for someone who's not used to diving in like that, where do you suggest they start with reading their three chapters?
Well, starting the book of Matthew is a good starting place, you know, just reading straight through. Or again, if somebody says, well, I want to spend more time on each chapter, I would say read the same chapter three times over. Because again, you're feeding your spirit. And a very important point to remember is this. You have to understand the dynamic. It's wise and good to understand the dynamics of this. Your mind often will say, I've read that. I don't want to read it anymore. I've already gotten whatever there is to get out of it. That's not necessarily true at all, because your spirit could spend an eternity in one chapter, because your spirit can gain more and more. You just keep digging deeper and deeper. So the fact is, many times, see, your spirit is much wiser and smarter than your mind. Your spirit is much broader. There are many things intellectually that you can't comprehend with your mind that your spirit can comprehend. So the fact is, when your mind says, I'm tired of this, many times you need to just keep digging, because your spirit never gets tired of the Word.
Okay, so you can get something new out of reading the same chapter over and over and over again.
For an eternity, because the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. For that reason, you never get to the bottom of it. There's more treasure to be found as you keep going deeper and deeper. So read the 23rd Psalm a million times. There's more to be drawn out.
All right. Okay, so this next question comes from the Churbin.
Okay.
Forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, but it comes from Cavell.
It's Cavell, yeah.
Cavell, okay. Is it biblical to refer to a pastor as shepherd? Is what he asked.
Well, I would say yes, in that because he's a sub-shepherd under Christ. Now, Christ is the good and great shepherd, you know, but the work of a pastor is one of like a shepherd, you know, and interesting to think of that too. The topic of shepherd is huge in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Genesis to Revelation, shepherds are huge in that, like, for example, Abraham was a shepherd, Isaac was a shepherd, Jacob was a shepherd, King David was a shepherd, Of course, Christ is the great shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. But the theme, you know, you take the 23rd Psalm, it's about the great shepherd. So shepherding is an important job that we do under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but he is the great shepherd, and pastors serve in a shepherd role under him.
Okay. So who can be a shepherd?
The ones that are called to be shepherds.
You know what I mean? You know how the Bible speaks about women pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Help me understand exactly your question.
So
okay.
Females can be pastors too, right?
I think without question. Now, of course, there are lots of people that say otherwise, you know. But if a person's called, you know, and of course the Holy Spirit, you know, God calls who he wants to call. That's God's prerogative. And I think, you know, the Bible speaks of how that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And of course, the important thing is that we listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God for our specific calling. Now, I would say this, what I think can be disappointing is when you have people that will stand up in the face of another person and say, God didn't call you to do this.
Mm.
That's dangerous.
Right.
That's dangerous. So the important thing is that we learn to listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we discern what he's calling us to do. We walk that out. So I think there's some wonderful male and female pastors out there that do wonderful jobs, and actually some of the greatest preachers out there, I think, are some of the women preachers out there doing a great job in what they've been called of God to do.
I agree. And might I add that Mary was the first person to officially carry the gospel.
That is very true.
Because she carried Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So actually moving on to a completely different spectrum again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about suicide.
Okay.
Why is suicide so prevalent in our culture? And when I say culture, of course, people around the world have fallen victim to this. But more so, I'm curious about why is it so prevalent in American culture?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, that's a huge question. And let me try to respond by saying I'm going to try to respond to it as best I can in it, because I don't know that there's a simple answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an important question for the church to address. Now, Let me say this, too. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. The proper translation, you shall not murder. That is, you shall not take innocent life. So one thing we can know clearly from Scripture is that suicide is against it's against the Word of God. It's not the will of God that anybody commit suicide. That is, they've murdered themselves.
Right.
Well, the fact is, though, that there are many tragic, you know, reasons many times that people go down that sad road, and it's much more prevalent than people realize. I think of this, that, like, for example, in the United States, the statistics say somewhere around over 38,000 people took their own lives, committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
There's a billboard that sometimes you see that it says every day 23 servicemen and women commit suicide, take their own lives.
Well, military people?
In the military,
oh, wow.
You know, all the branches of service. And so it's always a very tragic, tragic situation, though, because mm-hmm. in the wake of the tragedy of suicide, often their family members and loved ones and people that cared about them that think, if only I talked to them more, mm-hmm. prayed for them more, and often lots of guilt abounds. But I would say this, that some of the contributing factors are, of course, you know, obviously Satan's behind all of it.
Right.
But the Bible says the thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so I would say one of the things that the church can do is to learn more about the reasons behind suicide. You know,
yeah.
There are many different factors. Like, for example, when people get into a mode of feeling hopeless or dealing with hopelessness, many people that are dealing with depression or the loss of a loved one, sometimes fear, mental illness, drug abuse, all of these are contributing factors.
Yeah, very true.
But one thing that sadly, well, there are two sad contributions or sad factors at work, it appears 100% of the time when suicide happens. Now, this is not to say these are the only factors at all. All the factors are tragic and sad to think about, but two of them is, too much darkness has accumulated in or around that person, and number one. And number two, they've been deceived.
Right.
Often the devil will tell a person, this is a way out. This is a way out of your misery. This is a way out of getting out of this problem. This is a way of getting rid of the problem. Well, obviously, if the person's not saved, it's certainly not a way to get out from under the problem, because they're about to step into their worst nightmare. Because if they're not saved, they're going to hell, which is much, it's the worst nightmare of their existence, right. But it never ends. And so suicide, again, speeds up the process.
What about if they were a Christian?
Well, here's where, and of course, I'm aware of this. This is something that makes some folks upset and mad to say. But the fact is, some people say, well, if somebody's a believer, then they'll go to hell if they commit suicide. The Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
Now, the fact is, a believer can be deceived. And I believe there have been too many instances where someone who was saved but sadly been misled by Satan or satanic influence to take their own life. Mm-hmm. So if a person says, well, can a saved person commit suicide? I think without question, yes. Now, if they say, well, will that sin send them to hell? If they knew Jesus, I believe they're going to heaven, no question about that. They may have some explaining to do, because the Lord may let them know you weren't finished with your work. But the reality is, Christians can be deceived. They can be misled in doing some wrong and foolish things, and sometimes that happens. So, and of course, there may be plenty of people that want to say, well, no, I totally disagree. Well, they have the right to disagree. But I believe a believer can be deceived into making that tragic mistake. But if a person has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if Christ is in their heart, that person is saved.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a scripture that talks about the wiping away of tears in heaven?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, what does that mean, I guess, in parallel to a Christian who commits suicide?
I'm not sure that I can really give you a good answer to that. Now, I believe part of when scripture speaks of the Lord wiping away tears. First, let me get this number in one more time here. We're in the midst of our spring share-a-thon.
Gotcha.
And we appreciate all of you that have been a part of our share-a-thon thus far. That number is 1-888-778-7138. Again, that number is 1-888-778-7138. Or you can go online to urbanfamilytalk.com and contribute as well. Okay, state your question one more time so I can be clear on exactly what you're asking.
Okay, so I don't remember the exact verse in the Bible where it talks about the wiping away of tears, you know, in heaven. Mm-hmm. But I've always wondered, is that because, you know, a Christian has gotten there too soon and there was more to be done? But mm-hmm. Is that true?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if that really speaks to that particular issue.
Okay.
I think when it speaks of Christ, the Lord wiping away our tears, it may be that one final time that we're experiencing some of the emotion from earth-related experiences, and he's wiping them away for the final time. Or it may be those who've gone through great tribulation and difficulty, he's wiping away their tears as they make their arrival in heaven. But let me say, I'm not sure if that's the specific reference or not. So we're at the end of our hour. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for
having
me.
It's been an honor and privilege to have you. Thank you for joining our listening family. Again, if you'd like to call in and contribute during our final day of Share-a-thon, you can call 1-888-778-7138. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.